terrific today. I thank the Lord for the air conditioner when we can be inside of it. I do my best not to be real long-winded with you tonight. Just try to say what the Lord, I feel the Lord's put on my heart. And sometimes that's the challenge, is taking that feeling he puts in your heart into words and translating that. It's almost like painting or something, like you have a desire to paint, and you got to be able to put it from here to your fingertips under the brush, and then have the, you know, then you want the colors to do the way this is, you know, what you feel it's supposed to be, and tell it, well, I feel in blue. Like, well, that's not quite the blue I was talking about. And only way I know how to explain it, that's kind of how I feel. So I do kind of privilege to be among you. Let's go to Psalms chapter 32, verses 8 through 11. And I'd like to speak to you on a thought that the Lord has kind of has had on my mind for a few days. Actually, for a few weeks, he's been kind of putting it there. And the last few days, it's gotten more and more just coming to my mind. But it's Ruddered to God's Eye. And if you have to put a subtitle, it would be An Ear to Hear. Ruddered to God's Eye. You know, a boat's got a rudder on it, and that's what causes it to steer. And that's what a rudder is. So we want a rudder to God's eye. Okay. Psalms chapter 32, verses 8 through 11. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart.
Amen.
Let's go, Lord, and pray. Father, we love you. I ask you that you would help me, Lord, you know, tired in body, Lord, and just want to make sure I'm just right in tune with you. Don't want to try to puff anything up, Lord, or make anything more than it is, Lord. Just your yielded vessel now. I ask you that you would use me, Lord. Touch your believing people, Lord, that are here, they that will be listening in the future. Lord, I pray that every word will bring forth its intended purpose, Lord, in your time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. You know, the scripture says that he will instruct and teach us in the way that we shall go. And we don't want to be like a horse or a mule. And, you know, their mouth, you have to put a bridle in their mouth to steer to try to cause them to turn. But we really want, because they don't understand what needs to be done. But we want to be so in tune with God that we understand what his will is for our life. You know, it's if I was to ask the one challenge for any person is, do you understand the will of God for your life? You know, it's one thing to see the will for somebody else, but what about me, Lord? And, you know, so we need leadership. And even when we are being led or instructed, we need a way to track in the way that we're going. Like if we were I've had different kayaks and, you know, had some that track well and I have some that don't track well. The one that don't track well, and you can pedal it as hard as you want to, and you just spin, no matter what you're doing. You can be doing the best effort that you can, but because that kayak does not have a rudder on the back of it, you just to help steer that thing, that it's hard to direct the paths the way that kayak will go, because currents can come, wind can come, and even though you're intending on going a certain way, because there's no rudder on that kayak, it will try to do its own thing. Well, life is just like that if we don't have a rudder in the Lord. We may know what we need to do, but it seems like life can come, and even though you know what you need to do, you find yourself, because you're not ruddered, you feel like you're just doing circles.
Right.
And we've read, and we know of history in the Bible where people went in circles.
Right.
You know, they weren't going where they needed to go. So a boat or a plane, they both need something to stabilize them in order to help it turn. So not just a boat, but a plane also.
Right.
And ships and planes, they have a rudder. And a rudder is a flat, movable surface used to steer a vehicle that moves through fluid, typically water or air. And the uses of a rudder on boats and ships, the rudder is located at the stern or the back, and it turns side to side. And when the helm or the wheel or the tiller is moved, the rudder deflects water flow, causing the vessel to turn left or right. And on airplanes, a rudder is part of the vertical tail fin and controls the yaw, the left-right movement of the nose. It helps maintain coordinated turns and stability in flight. So in short, a rudder helps control direction, and it's like a steering wheel for the boat and the stabilizers for planes. So we need direction, we need to be stable, and when we need to be able to make a turn, we need to be able to make the turn. Right. It's one thing to know you need to do something, it's another thing to be able to do it.
Right.
It's almost like a sitting in front of a fitness trainer and you feel like you're overweight, and he said, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this. Okay, yeah, I know I need to do that. But it's kind of hard to do it sometimes. You got to have a rudder, you know, because you have a lot of temptations that's pushing you to not do what you need to do. Without a rudder, boats, now this is what we do, without a rudder, and you say, Bill Daniel, where in the world are we going? Stay with me, okay? Without it, a boat cannot steer properly. Without it, planes lose control from the yaw, from side to side nose movement. And safety and maneuverability is greatly reduced when you don't have a rudder. So without a rudder, it's hard to be steered in the right direction. And a ship can be built with the finest wood. It can be built with the greatest metal of whatever you want it to be. But it will be tossed in every direction if it does not have a rudder. It don't matter how pretty the ship is. What good would it do for a ship to be the prettiest ship there is out there if it can't be steered and do what it's supposed to do?
Right.
A house can be built with one of the greatest, finest mansions, but without a rudder, that house will be tossed to and fro with everything. Now, Brother Daniel, I have never seen a house with a rudder. Well, it should. Maybe tomorrow we'll all go outside and build a rudder on the back of our house. Neighbors say, what in the world are you doing? I'm building a rudder. That probably wouldn't help us too much, right? But we know that there's a spiritual rudder that we need, because the purpose of a rudder, as I said, is because whenever you're trying to go in the direction you need to go, the rudder is what enables you to navigate.
Right.
It's what enables you to steer. And you know, in a rudder on a kayak I used to have, I had a lever that I could pull, and I could pull the lever up, and I could control whether I utilized the rudder or not. So I had the rudder available, but it was up to me to apply the rudder.
Right.
Okay? And so I can do it the right way, or I can do it the wrong way. But it's up to me.
That's right.
So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, if you'll just read just a few scriptures with me. It says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of his stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by a sleight of man, cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. A fivefold ministry is here to establish you, so you are no longer tossed to and fro of every wind and doctrine. Aren't you thankful for a fivefold ministry?
Amen.
God gave us for a fivefold ministry to establish you in the. And I believe in my heart, the Lord just keeps laying on my heart. And the last few days, of the need and the necessity of sound doctrine. We need sound doctrine.
Right.
Because if you don't have doctrine, sound doctrine is what establishes you in what you believe. If you don't have sound doctrine, you can be just like anybody else. Say, well, I believe it's this. I believe it's that. I believe it's this. But with sound doctrine, it establishes you in the purpose that you're trying to do. So, and as an example, in woodwork, there's sound doctrine in woodworking of what you do and what you don't do in woodworking. And if you follow the sound doctrine, you hopefully have all your fingers. Because the sound doctrine of the woodworking is to protect you. It's to show you. And by doing the sound doctrine of woodworking, you can do a greater work than what you normally could do because you're following the right steps.
Right.
And the same thing with electronics or electricians. Sound doctrine will keep you from shocking yourself, hopefully. And keep you from burning things up. And not only does it protect you, but because you follow the sound doctrine of electronics, you can do things that you normally couldn't do because you're building off of sound doctrine of electricity. And to me, brother, sister, what I'm trying to say from my heart is through the gospel, God has given us a sound doctrine that we can, that will protect us. But down through the ages, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, God is establishing and leading and perfecting the church. But it all comes from sound doctrine. We must have sound doctrine. That's why I love when the prophet brought up, there is an absolute. The absolute is the Bible, the Word of God. Everything ties back to this. And that's what makes the message what it is it always points back to this Word. So we need sound doctrine because the sound doctrine will keep you from tossed to and fro. And the sound doctrine, it's up to us to apply that sound doctrine. Because whenever work, when I'm taking my kayak, it's up to me to apply that prop there and say, I am the rudder guy. It's up to me to use these things because you know what? If I don't apply the sound doctrine when the things come, I'll be tossed around just like everybody else.
Right.
We got truth, but we must apply it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior that becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now think of these older women, the aged women, you got a job. The men, talk about the men, how they should conduct themselves. Look at the women. Not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. You know, a mother is the backbone of the nation.
Right.
A mother, and we've heard these things, I know, many times, but I think it's good to go back and look at the importance of a godly, God-fearing mother. It's because you can instill inside those children and your family the fear of the Lord, the woman to be sober. And when I look at the sober, I don't believe it means you're just not drunk, like with alcohol, but sober in your thinking, sober in your attitude, sober in the way you're conducting your home, sober in a way to where it is you're thinking the way you should, thinking with a clear mind. Because you know, as a mother and a wife, when you're able to do that, you're creating an environment inside the home for the children to see something that is stable. And it's also so whenever the husband comes home or the father comes home, he comes home to something that he has established in that home because she's doing it with a sound mind. But the father, the husband must have a sound mind and a sober mind and a sound mind, and the wife must have a sober and a sound mind. We're in verse 5. Let's go to verse 3 again. Let's start at verse 3 again. I'll try not to be too late, but I want to read this again. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior that becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. I always thought that was interesting how it says their own husbands.
Right.
Ain't that important?
Right.
I think that's something people forget about that part. It's your own husband because you are a wife is your husband's helpmate.
Right.
And you know, if he likes fried chicken like this, make the chicken the way he likes it. Somebody else may like it another way, but make it the way he likes it. Why? Because he's your husband. He loves you. And I believe it's the way it is with the Lord, as our fear for the Lord, is we want to conduct ourselves in such a way that we are obedient to our own husband. It don't matter what they do out there. I want to be obedient to my Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Obedient to our own husbands. And I love fried chicken. Amen.
Amen.
We were talking about that today. She said, what do you want for your birthday? I said, fried chicken. Malachi? And chip off the old block. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. So young men, Malachi, you're the one I can pick on. You're the one in front of me, buddy. To be sober-minded. Strive. What would that mean for me to be sober-minded? It's because this world has a way of making you drunkenness where you'll think and act like everybody else thinks. But we have something that will keep you sober-minded, a clear thought of carefulness where you know, you're aware. Because if you know, if someone's walking in danger zone and they're drunk, they're going to stumble and hurt themselves in the natural. Well, in the spiritual, we are living in a world where there's things to hurt you and to harm you. With how much more should we be sober-minded in this hour? In something that spiritually can spiritually damage you, spiritually hurt you. For young men, be sober-minded. Lord, help me to, in my mind, in my thinking, to not be caught away up in the thoughts of the world and the things everyone else, but help me to be sober-minded, Sister Hannah. Help me to be sober-minded. That way I can listen to what the Lord is, what God wants. I can listen to the sound doctrine. I can listen when it comes to me. Because if you're drunk, have you ever tried to reason with someone that's drunk?
Right.
It is not any fun. It's the most annoying thing in the world. Because
right.
They love you. I love you. I love you, Dan. I love you. Sound like I've been around it, don't it? Oh, yeah. There's nothing worse than being around someone that's drunk because you cannot reason with them. You can try to counsel and talk to them and plead with them and give them absolute truth. But when they're drunk, they're like, yeah, I love you. You're not listening to what I'm saying.
Right.
They're drunk.
Right.
And see, that's what happens in this world is people don't realize that they're drunk. And the ministry's trying to show you the word and showing you, you got to watch out for these things. Stay away from these things. And something Brother Tony brought out today that I thought was outstanding, and I pray that everyone caught what he said. He said, you know, those people will try to counsel you to show you things. He said, but watch, they'll never ask you to come with your pastor or your ministry or your dad. Somebody come to you. They'll pull you to the side to give you their thoughts and their counsel about it. But why don't they do it with the pastor? Why don't they do it with your father? Why don't they do it with your leadership? It's because they are subtle. And they're trying to draw you away.
Right.
We need to be sober.
Amen.
And I promise you, I won't say promise you. You will probably come across one day and have to reason with someone that's drunk. And you will know what Brother Daniel's talking about. You cannot talk with them. You can't teach them. You can't lead them. You can't show them because they're drunk.
Right.
So we have to be careful that we stay sober. Eventually, we'll get to where it shows you how to stay sober. In all things, Malachi, young men, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That's a tough one. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Because I like to laugh, and I like to make people laugh. But, you know, we have to be careful with that. Because whenever you start talking about nonsense all the time, people will not take you seriously.
Right.
You want people to be take you seriously, you've got to act seriously. Amen?
Yeah.
To me, this is good sound doctrine.
Right.
You know? Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Think of it. Conduct yourself in speaking the way you talk, that when an unbeliever... When the devil tries to cause him to speak about your evil doing, he would be ashamed to say something because he's lying. Because he knows this guy's got the goods. I'm ashamed. I like the scripture, and I believe it's in Philippians. It says, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love that scripture. Let your conversation be as it becometh, that somebody can watch your life and be able to write and say, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Living, watching your life.
Yeah.
May we live it that way. We know we can't do it. It takes him first to be able to do that. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and please them well in all things, not answering again. If you work, you go to the job site, you are a servant. And you want to work in that job in such a way that you are obedient to that manager or that supervisor that's over you, and you want to please them well in all things, of course, in holiness. You want to do your job in such a way and not answering again that they don't have to say, I want you to mop that floor. And then they have to come back and say, hey, I told you I want you to mop the floor. But the first time they tell you, you say, yes, and you grab the floor and you mop the floor because you are obedient and you're not having to be answered again. Because when you're faithful in these little things I'm talking about of sound doctrine, brother and sister, it will bleed over into the other areas of your life. Because when you're doing it right there, when they come to you and they say, do this job, don't answer again, do it right then, because when you do that, you are instilling character in yourself. And then in other areas of the life, when the Lord speaks to you, you will automatically do that because it is a character that is instilled inside you and you're not having to be answered again. When the Lord says, do this, you do it. You get up and do it because it's something built inside of you. And that's what we want to be. We want to be an obedient servant to the Lord. We want to be obedient to our job. We don't want to complain. Forgive me, Lord. I have been so guilty of that. You won't find anybody that don't have to go to the blood of Jesus Christ more than Brother Daniel. Because there are some times when it's hot out there. I don't want to have to do this. I don't want to complain. I want to be thankful. I want to be faithful. I want to do my job in such a way that the Lord can sign off this and say, I approve of this work that you have done.
Right.
If you were, when I was working at Williams Chevrolet, I would mop that floor. My wife can tell you, my kids can tell you, I'd come home with my shirt as clean as you see right now. Because I don't like to get dirty. I don't want nasty all over my hands. I don't want that stuff. I do it. And a lot of it's because I say, I want to do this job in the name of the Lord. And whenever I would do that oil change with all the oil and said, back when they had greaser, they don't have it anymore. You have greaser all over the vehicle. There'd be up to 23 greaser on some of these things. It's crazy. Right. I would go through there, and every greaser, I would wipe that off very good and make it look brand new. And that was my signature of that car. And then I remember there was one time this man, he had said that I had greased his job the day before. And my shop manager at the time, he said, let's put this thing up on the lift. I had no idea what he's doing. He walked over there. He said, I'm telling you, he did not touch this truck. It was another technician. This was not his guy. He said, how would you know that? He said, I'm going to show you something. Look at this greaser. Look at this greaser. Look at this greaser. Look at this greaser. What do you see? It's filthy. Now come over here and look at this other one. He said, he did this one. What do you see about the greaser? Every single one of them are walked off. That was my signature, and I didn't even know it. The manager saw it. The manager said, this is his signature. That's the way we want to conduct our lives, our business, and everything that we do. We do it with a hidden signature that we don't even realize because we live in a gospel life.
Right.
We live a life worthy of the gospel.
Right.
To where even that man wasn't even a believer, but he saw the life. He saw something that I did. Brother, sister, that's what it is. In my heart, I'm trying to say, we want to live such a godly life where somebody else will say, you can accuse all you want to, but I know this person.
Right.
And
right.
This is the work that they do. This is the life that they do. Because see, it's not you anymore. It's God. God's getting the glory. Ain't that awesome?
Amen.
God gets the signature. God gets the glory. But where's it all come from? Sound doctrine.
Right.
Amen. Yes. We want to live a sound doctrine life because when you do it in these things, brother, sister, it will bleed into other areas of your life.
Yeah.
In the contrary, if you do the wrong things, it will bleed into the other areas of your life.
Yeah.
Amen. Lord, help me keep it right. Help me keep the rudder down there.
Amen.
And keep going right. Amen. My goodness, that clock keeps moving. So this is the rudder. A sound doctrine is a rudder. I know you can use many things. Brother Tommy can correct whatever if I get off anything. But sound doctrine is a rudder. It will keep us in the right direction, and it will help us correct our direction. Sound doctrine.
Yeah.
If you start to go wrong, sound doctrine will pull you back. If we apply it, we have to be willing to apply it. Without sound doctrine, man is left with nothing to direct his paths. Look at this quote that I had never knew that Brother Brown preached this message about, and what I'm fixing to get to. I had no idea. in my mind, the Lord is giving me these thoughts, these scriptures, and I should start writing them down. And then I come to this message where he preached this, and he used the same scriptures almost. I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. I did not know that. I wrote down the same quotes, and same scriptures and everything. Amen. And it's God's eye in 1958. I never heard that message before. He says, and what a consolation it is in our scripture reading last night that we found that Jesus said the scriptures cannot be broken. And then when Jesus went away in that great eye of God that was to God, he promised the things that I do, the works that I do, shall you also. And that guiding eye wasn't to be gone at the going of the Lord Jesus. He was to continue forever in his church. And when he rose on the third day and ascended up on high and sent the Spirit, the Holy Spirit back, the church tonight looks through the same guiding eye that guides his people to all truth, and he is truth. And how happy we are tonight to know that scriptures cannot be broken, and know that same eye that will guide us in our presence tonight, we're in its presence tonight, that shall guide us from sickness unto health. Catch this. This is what the God will do for us. That shall guide us from sickness unto health. That shall guide us from afflictions to the cross. That will guide us from affliction to good health. That will guide us from a sinful life to a sainted, set aside life in God. That presence of God is near ever. Ain't that wonderful? God's prop, God's word, or God's rudder will lead us from wrong to right. Amen? To sum it up, if you're sick, he'll lead you to health. If you're wrong, he'll lead you to right. If no matter what you're in the wrong direction you may be going, God will lead you back through sound doctrine.
Amen.
Amen? And through Holy Spirit leadership. Amen. His eye will lead us to health. His eye will lead us to clean life. His eye will lead us to his perfect will. His eye will lead us to deliverance. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 4 through 12, it says, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant or a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart that they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. They erred in their heart. I'm going to say it this way. They pulled up their rudder.
Right.
Moses was standing in front of them. Moses was fully displayed. I'm with you. I've got a word. I am the one God that's chosen me. It wasn't me that chose myself. God chose Moses to lead the people. And if they would have stayed with what Moses was doing, kept their rudder with it, say, you know what? I know there's wind blowing. I know there's unbelievers coming at me, but I'm staying with this message because I see that it's right. But see, if they'd have kept that prop down and shaped that rudder down, and would have kept focus on that brother and sister, though the winds were coming, they would have overcome those things. Why? Because they were ruddered to the right thing. They were focused to the right thing. But what happened is they pulled their rudders up whenever Dathan and Korah and all this nonsense was coming up, and they were being tossed to and fro with everybody else. I think it means this. I feel like it means this. You don't ever want to get back on that slippery slope of what I think it is or what I feel it is, because you will fall all the way down that, and there's no stopping.
Yeah.
You don't ever want to put, what do I feel, what I think? That does not matter, because it will deceive you. Think it within yourselves, in your age group, no matter what age you are. Look back whenever you felt like you were doing right and you found out you were completely wrong.
Right.
Feelings. We must be ruddered into the word, ruddered to God's eye. What do I mean by ruddered by God's eye? God, what is your intent? What is it you desire for my life? What is it that you are, what is your desire of what you're trying to do here, Lord? Because I want to follow your will.
Right.
I love to listen to Bob Ross. And
And we would hear him, and he'd say the beautiful trees, and he'd have his canvas up there, and he'd say, "I'm gonna, why not? Let's just put some clouds up here." Oh yeah, I just love his voice. Yeah, put the clouds up there. One of these days, I'm gonna grow my hair out like that. It's gonna be a Bob Ross, just for a day. Bob Ross, but he said, "I'm gonna do my canvas here. I'm gonna do the blue, and you know, I'm gonna do a mountain. I want a tall mountain, but you make a small mountain. Whatever you want, it's yours, and you just do." And Bob Ross would be guiding them, and he would say, "Let's grab a little bit of this purple, or this black, or this blue, and all this." And he's just creating, and he's just going with the flow. And all you got to do is focus on what that instructor's telling you, and that image will be beautiful. And his won't look exactly like yours. Yours will look a little different because it's your life. You understand what I'm saying? But this is the standard. This is the word. This is it. Follow that. You don't all exactly look the same. We're not cookie cut. There's pink flowers. There's blue flowers. There's short. There's short. Right? Probably. There's short. There's all kinds of different child of God. But you want to look at the right standard. Stay prompt to the right standard, and he will lead you. Amen? I love some Bob Ross. Because, you know, if you listen to that brother and sister, he will show you how. He will show you how to make your mess something beautiful. Amen. Bob Ross might be able to do that on a painting, but God can do it through a five-fold ministry.
Amen.
Of showing you, take you a little bit of blue, take you a little bit of brown, take you a little black, take a little bit of this, and just work with it. And you begin to work with that, and you feel that Holy Spirit tugging at you and working with you and moving with you. Because you know what Bob's doing? I'm going to call him Bob. We're friends. You know what Bob's doing? Bob's telling you, he's saying, find the inspiration. Find that inner inspiration on the inside and work with it. And that's what the ministry is trying to get you to do. Find that inspiration of what makes you love God. Find that inspiration that makes you want to serve Him. And when you do that, work according to sound doctrine. And your picture is going to be beautiful. Your life is going to be beautiful. Because it's for Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. A couple more minutes and I'm done. I promise. Okay? Moses was telling them what they needed to do to correct their error, but they refused Moses. And this is what I want to go back to, is we must hold fast our confidence. Hold fast our confidence. I'm holding fast to God. You took me this far, and you will take me all the way. Amen. I trust you. I believe you. And the other thing I want to say is we must rejoice unto the end. Rejoice. Don't stop. Rejoice. When you begin to start doubting your healing or doubting whether you're doing this, rejoice. Because when you do that, you chase those devils away from you.
Amen.
What is it that's making you feel that way, devils?
Yeah.
Right? Whenever you start feeling that doom and gloom and unbelief and all that stuff, that ain't God doing that. That's devils. You know what you can do? Rejoice.
Amen.
Paul and Silas, we're talking about today, you know. Paul and Silas began to praise the Lord. You know, they were an invincible army. But you know what? If they never praised the Lord, were they really being invincible? They just had the potential of being invincible, right?
Yeah. Right.
But what they had to do, they had to start praising the Lord. Right. And when they began to praise the Lord, the chains fell. Right? So whenever you start feeling that doom and gloom trying to come on you, rejoice.
Amen.
You start praising the Lord. Say, God, you are awesome.
Amen.
You're amazing. I love you. I want you to inhabit my truck.
Amen.
I got a truck that's hot in summertime. I thank God that He's not limited to a hot truck.
Right.
He'll come. If you're in a prison, He'll come. If you're on a mountaintop, He'll come. No matter where you're at, rejoice.
Amen.
That's all awesome. Rejoice. We want to rejoice in the Lord. God's eye knows what's going on. He is aware of where you're at. I want to read one quote as Brother Tony get ready to come up, brother. It says, God's eye reflects His will, reflects His spirit, reflects His word. What good would it do with all our training? What good would it do with all our teaching and our theology if there wasn't something to keep us even keeled? What good would it do? A ship to have great sails and great fine valves and sterns and pockets in it, a great compass on the inside if it didn't have a rudder.
Amen.
What if it had neither compass nor rudder? It would just be drove by the winds from place to place. But we're thankful that God has both rudder and compass.
Amen.
He lets us know where we're standing today and what will be. He said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. So let us look to the eye of God tonight
and we will see that he will lead us to Calvary.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to prayer. Father, I love you. I pray that through my chopped up language tonight, that Lord, that they've got something from this of you, Lord, and that they'll feel edified in your word and your spirit, Lord. We love you, Lord. We just wanna perform well for you, Lord. Help us, in Jesus' name.
Pays attention. Amen. I can tell he paid attention Sunday morning. That really blesses your heart when you know people listen and hear what you're saying.
Amen.
So, sound doctrine. You know, 2 Timothy 3:16, you know, there's a lot of good 3:16 scriptures in the Bible.
Amen.
2 Timothy 3:16 says this, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. That's what you heard tonight. Amen. Sound doctrine, and it comes from the Bible. Amen. So many good things there. I just appreciate what Brother Daniel shared with us tonight, speaking what's on his heart. And I can tell you that very timely.
Amen.
So I just appreciate that. We'll sing a song and then let you be dismissed. And when we get through, I'll ask Sister Vicki to end the streaming and then I want to talk to everybody for just a bit. Okay. Oh, I love you and
people.